The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I'm doing so good. So excited to talk these last episodes. Well, we got like two more until the last episode. I don't know, the penultimate.
This is the anti-penultimate and the penultimate.
Anti-penultimate and the penultimate. I just learned the word penultimate like 5 years ago, and it was Gucci when I did.
Revelation for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was. Yeah, truly. I am like really excited to talk about these episodes with you. It's been a couple of weeks since you and I have podcasted Freaks and Geeks. You went on a gorgeous Mediterranean vacation, and mm-hmm. I watched all 17 episodes of Undeclared. So both of us
living our best lives.
Both of us really have been living the dream the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I have any tips to give anybody when they travel, specifically overseas, I would say it's like expect the worst when it comes to jet lag. And maybe bring some saltines with you, because I didn't, and saltines aren't as common in Europe. So just like prepare for the worst and hope for the best, and hopefully you won't be disappointed.
I don't understand the correlation between stomach sickness and jet lag, but
I didn't either, Sarah. Seriously, this is the thing. I didn't realize that when I was having those issues that it was jet lag, but when I did some light Googling, apparently it's a thing. And I swear to you, to anybody out there who's still in their 20s, first of all, congratulations, good for you. Second of all, I swear the minute I turned 30, I used to say, like, okay, if we're putting it in D&D terms, like my constitution was fairly high. My stomach cannot handle as much as it used to. Like, you know me, I get like heartburn all the time.
Yeah,
now.
You're a wuss, but I don't have those issues. And
well,
I'm
then hopefully if you go to Europe, you won't have the problems I had. But
I also have a stomach of steel.
I'm so happy for you. I really am. Because I was really upset to miss out on, I could have eaten so much more pasta.
You know? My partners always have the weakest stomachs in comparison to me. Like, we can eat the same thing and they would get food poisoning and I don't.
Well, and you can stomach, you know what it is?
Spicy food.
You've conditioned your stomach with the amount of tomatoes that you've eaten in your lifetime.
I do have a high acidity level, and also it's the tomatoes. And now that it's winter...
Clementines. I pretty much, you only eat acid and therefore your stomach is just used to everything at this point.
Yeah, that's probably
you
true.
Would, you would also love Italy and Greece, because their tomatoes are just absolutely divine over there. They're really, really good.
That's beautiful.
But I think you would enjoy it.
Yeah. So while you're doing that, living your best life, I did watch Judd Apatow's second canceled show after a season, Undeclared, which a lot of people have mentioned to us. And this is, it has a lot of the same people. It's not necessarily a spinoff, but Jason Segel's in it. Seth Rogen's in it. We get a Busy Phillips cameo. We have some of the guest stars that were from Freaks and Geeks in it. So it was definitely similar and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's on my list of things to watch. I know you recommended it to me. Yeah. So definitely going to get on that soon, because I'm like almost done with Below Deck. The original, I still have like 4 spinoffs to get to, but the OG, I'm almost done.
Very, very excited for you. Yeah. I really liked it. And I mean, like, I do think that Freaks and Geeks is a better show. Like, I think I'm very confident in saying that. However, it was definitely a fun ride. And those episodes are only 22 minutes. So you can really, like, zip through them.
Oh, there is something so satisfying about a 20-something minute, like, sitcom that used to air on network television.
Yeah. And on top of that, the episodes are on YouTube, so
love it.
You can just kind of somebody put it on a playlist, and you can just keep on watching.
Zip right through them, yeah.
Yep.
Also, before we dive into these two episodes, which we're going to get to in a minute, can I just throw a little teaser out there for something I'm considering doing that I want to tease right now? So if I actually end up doing it, I could say I said it here a long time ago.
Yeah, sure.
So it's an audio medium, so no one knows, although you probably could tell by the tone of her voice. Sarah just rolled her eyes, maybe the hardest I've ever seen.
I'm such a bitch. I'm sorry.
So I'm considering, I have an idea for a tattoo that I might get.
Oh. Okay.
And I will say it is 90s related. So I'm going to throw that out there. I won't say what it is because I'm like not certain on exactly what I want yet.
Yeah.
But it is 90s related. So stay tuned. I might eventually come back with a tattoo. That's 90s related.
I mean, that's an interesting thing. Like, a lot of people might not realize this, but Jessica Sterling has a lot of tattoos.
I have 5.
That's a lot. Sure. I got my first tattoo, my only tattoo, on my 18th birthday. And I think it's a rarity for people to be a one tattooer.
Most people get the bug and they want more. They get the itch.
I was a one and done. It's like pretty large and pretty obnoxious, but it's okay. It's fine. If I could do it again, I would not do it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, because, like, you know, you're a different person in your 30s than you are when you're 18. Especially me. Like, when I was 18, I was definitely more on like the freak side, I guess you would say. I was living my emo girl life, you know.
Mm-hmm. You were in your feels big time.
Yeah, I was in my feels. I was like very into getting piercings, and
I went through a piercing phase as well.
I had my bangs covering my eyes, and I
could barely
see. I listened to the band Him, H-I-M.
Yep.
You know that band?
I do. I didn't listen to them, but really? I know the name.
Yeah. So I was definitely more of like a little a baby scene kid, I guess. Mm-hmm.
All your photos online were in black and white, except for like you would like do one part of you in color. Probably your blue eyes is most likely my guess.
Yep. So Yeah, but I only had like I only got one tattoo.
Mm-hmm. I haven't, to be fair, I have not gotten a tattoo. So I am now 32 years old, mm-hmm. and I have not gotten a tattoo since I was, I want to say like 25. Like, it's been a long time since I've gotten one.
What stopped you?
Nothing in particular. It's more of, I haven't had like the itch. I haven't had the like, I really want a tattoo of X, Y, or Z. And also like then COVID happened. You know what I mean? Like, there was just a lot of things where I was like, doesn't really seem like I need to be making this a priority. Tattoos are kind of expensive as well. And when you have like other priorities you're trying to put your money towards, it doesn't really seem like a something like, for me at least, that I was like, you know, wanting to spend money on. But now I have an idea and I'm like thinking of trying to poke around and see if the person I think the person I went to last, the thing is all the tattoo artists I've ever gone to always end up like moving. And so I don't know if the one I went to last is still around. If she is, I'd like to go to her again. First of all, because she's a female tattoo artist and I love supporting women in business. Second of all, her name is Jessica. And third of all, she did a really good job on my last tattoo. So
my tattoo artist was a woman as well.
Yeah, it's just, it's great, right? We love supporting women in business. So we'll see. I'm putting it out there right now that I'm thinking about doing it. I'm thinking about something in particular and it is 90s related.
Are you going to tell me or are you just,
I will tell you. I just don't want to put it on the podcast until like I'm more certain about it.
You don't want like 30 listeners to get the same tattoo as you, right?
Yeah, well that, and I don't need people weighing in on stuff.
This is like when you choose a baby name, like, oh, Naomi, and then you tell all your friends that you want to name your kid Naomi and then everybody names their kid Naomi.
It's the same exact thing. Also, or it's the opposite and people are like, oh, that name. And it's that like, name. Well, I don't need to hear that. You know, if I like it, that's good enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Naomi is a good name. If you don't like it, then you don't have to use it. But I could use it.
Sure. You could name your baby Naomi.
Naomi.
Oh, see, I don't know. Either.
I don't know either. Sure. Yeah. Well, anyway, do you want to talk about smooching and mooching?
Now, you probably should.
Yeah. I mean, like, you're not a big smoocher. And you're not a moocher. I'm a moocher. I'm definitely.
And you're a smoocher.
I'm a smoocher.
No, I'm not a big, I don't know. I kiss.
Do you ask anybody for anything ever?
Sure. I just called my dad today for help.
What would you ask your dad?
My lawnmower. I don't want to talk about it. I have such lawnmower issues.
Fucking
literally
kidding me?
No, I'm not. This is the story of my goddamn life.
This is what you get for trying to save the environment. If you just got a fucking lawnmower, used gas and like made emissions off into the real world.
Your lawnmower would
be working. No, it would be working.
My last lawnmower that ruined the world didn't work either.
This is what happens when you try. Like, this is it, the expression, like, no good deed goes unpunished, is so true. It's so true. You can't save the world by getting an electric lawnmower because it's not going to work.
You know what's made me feel better about the entire situation?
What?
Hearing you rant to me about how I shouldn't have gotten my lawnmower.
I mean, I saw that thing delivered, and number one,
the guy was very good looking.
He was hot. Actually, actually, never mind. One. I'm really glad that you got it delivered, and I'm glad that I was there. I'm really glad that I watched the entire thing. Like, I was like in the window watching.
You were like an elderly woman watching the town gossip happen.
And the funny thing was, this was before Adam and I started like being together. I was texting Adam nonstop, being like, you have no idea what's going on right now with the lawnmower.
Look at how hot this guy is. Anyway. So,
episode 16, smooching and mooching.
Yes.
I liked this episode. I mean, I like this episode.
I think it's interesting. I like that we're getting a deeper dive into the side character of Nick again. Do you want to talk about the freaks first or the geeks first?
Freaks.
Okay, let's start with the freaks. Nick is having some strife with his dad because his dad up and sells his like 30-piece drum kit. Because he's been not doing well in school. And Nick is like so upset that he basically runs away, but he doesn't really have anywhere to go. And so I guess he like spends a night with Daniel, but then he gets kicked out of Daniel's house for not flushing the toilet, which is honestly disgusting.
Sometimes you just forget. Okay, the thing is that...
What do you mean you forget?
Okay.
Isn't it muscle memory?
No, this is the thing, because you know how they're like, oh, if you take a shower, you can't flush the toilet because the water is going to get...
I feel like that's a myth nowadays if you don't, if you live somewhere modern. No,
it's... Well, I mean, the place that I live in currently, it actually is. Like, you flush the toilet and then it's like scalding hot or very cold. And then sometimes you take your like half an hour long shower where you're singing on the top of your lungs, mm-hmm, and having a grand old time and having to do your like 20 step routine. And then sometimes, and then you have to do your after shower routine, which is like brushing your teeth and washing your face and all this stuff. And sometimes it just slips your mind. It's an accident.
Never slips my mind. But
wow, okay.
It slips Nick's mind to flush the toilet. Did you ever do this? Did you ever like leave home and stay with a friend for like a couple of days if you were like having a bad home experience or something?
No, but I should have.
I just don't think this – I don't think this would have been, like, allowed. Like, first of all, it never happened to me anyway, but, like, I just feel like there's no way that, like, my parent – or my friend's parent would be, like, comfortable with this, because I find it wild that, like, eventually Nick crashes at the Weir's house, first of all. Like, Lindsay is very much not inviting him in, and his her parents are like, okay, and he is, as Nick tends to be, like, very, very enthusiastic and appreciative and, like, vocal about, oh, my God, Mrs. Weir, this food is incredible. Like, it's so good. And he goes on and on and on. And he really, like, endears himself to the Weir family. And I kind of get this.
They already liked him as well.
They did, because he was dating Lindsay, and like I remember, like Mrs. Weir felt really bad when she was the one to reveal that Lindsay was going to break up with him. But I really liked this, because I feel like it's really interesting when you have Mr. and Mrs. Weir, and you have their two kids who never really say like, oh my gosh, mom, your food is so good, or oh, thank you for everything you do for me. You know what I mean? They're probably not saying that regularly. And then you have someone like Nick who comes in and is like, it's night and day with what he puts up with his dad, you know? So he's very, yeah, very appreciative, very vocal about it. And what did you make of Nick and Mr. Weir's relationship this episode?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. Like, he takes a special interest in Nick because he sees Nick have some potential, but also he knows that Nick's has a hard time with his dad because his dad is a hard ass, and Mr. Weir's dad was a hard ass. So he really, like, I guess, sees himself in the kid, and also he wants him to succeed. He wants him to do his homework, and he recognizes that he has potential with the drums and encourages him to take lessons and shows him a different style of drumming that's more advanced. And I thought that it was, like, really nice for Nick to experience a father-son relationship,
yeah,
that was encouraging his hobbies and talents. And I think it's definitely something that Nick needed. And I think in a way it's something that Mr. Weir needed, because that is what we call healing your inner child.
Yeah, I really loved this, right? Like, I love that Mr. Weir takes an interest in Nick and tries to say, like, if you want to be a drummer, then, like, then practice that. Like, get sticks, drum on rocks, drum on barrels, you know? Yeah. And I love him introducing Nick to jazz and, like, whatever the hell music they were listening to. I thought it was really sweet. And I also kind of really enjoy that Lindsay gets jealous about it, because it's a little bit like, it kind of shows her to appreciate the family she does have, right? And I love her saying, like, Mr. Weir, like, or saying to her dad, like, why don't you take as much interest in me? And her dad is like, Nick needs this help. Like, he doesn't have what you have. Like, he needs this, you know, needs me in this moment. What I thought was interesting is, obviously, this is 1980, But that the fact that the Weirs don't even talk to Nick's dad until he comes over to their house baffles my mind. Because if you have to imagine, the Weirs would be devastated if their kid was staying at someone else's house and that parent didn't call them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, is Nick not 18 yet?
I mean, I don't think, I mean, I guess he's a senior, right? But like, I don't think he's 18. And maybe he is. I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I think that, I think that they took a special interest in him because they understood like the issues. Like like obviously Nick wasn't like dead in a ditch. He was still going to school. I think that I don't know. Like in terms of like Lindsay's jealousy, I do think it's interesting. Like I think it's like twofold. Like I kind of hate the idea of just because somebody seems self-reliant and can't like independent and doesn't need help or special attention, then a parent or a teacher or like an adult doesn't give that kid the attention that somebody else who is perceived to be in need more attention. Like I have like a big issue with that because I think that everybody deserves like a special amount of the same amount of attention. Mm-hmm. And I don't like, oh, like you were so independent, like, or like you were so smart, you didn't need the extra help. Like, you know, like I always think about the times where, like my sister got a lot more like special attention in terms of like schoolwork and help and all mm-hmm. that stuff. And because I seemed a lot more independent, like I wasn't given the same sort of support. And like, I think that like, and I think that Lindsay like needed it. And I think that like, maybe she's feeling like a little neglected. Obviously we know that she lost her grandmother in the last year, you know, she needs the extra support. And I don't know, mm-hmm. she's been, I mean, I don't know if she'll accept it, even if they try to give it to her, but still. And then also, like, I don't know, like, have you ever experienced the phenomenon of, like, your parent, like, praising a friend of yours, and you, probably not, because you seem to have a healthy relationship with your parents, but, like, the jealousy that you get from, like, your parent calling somebody like pretty or like playing with them in like a certain way. Like I remember at one of my birthday parties, like my dad like put like whipped cream on one of my friend's noses. And I remember being like insanely jealous because I was just like, why do you get my dad like a piece of my dad in terms of that? Like, why do you get to have like that special funny moment with him?
That's interesting. Like, I bet there were moments like that, knowing how I was as a kid. Like, I'm sure there were those moments that I don't have any that come to my mind currently. But yeah, I really liked what they played with here in that episode, how they played with the relationships between the different types of families that someone could have, and how Mr. Weir, who up until this point has been pretty like, you know, he's very seen as very much like straight laced, like very much like a removed, like, oh, he goes to work, he comes home, he eats his dinner. He doesn't have these like very mushy conversations with his kids. And I loved how he was like, Nick, like you can have a part time job at my store. Like, just make sure you're keeping up with your schoolwork as well, you know?
Right. So I that loved how he was Mr. Weir could pay for his drum lessons, which is
exactly.
Nice.
Yeah. I like that Mr. Weir took a special interest in Nick because he could sense that like Nick's relationship with his own dad wasn't great. And I like that it Lindsay kind of was bothered by it for a minute, because it does prove that she's like, oh, I think it just shows that like she recognizes that she does have really great parents, you know. And you're right. Like, just because someone doesn't necessarily always scream and shout or get into trouble doesn't mean they don't also deserve attention. But it's really interesting. Like, you know, Nick is And Lindsay seems to get kind of annoyed at Nick's presence in their house in general, right? Like, he's always around. He's like sleeping in his underwear on the couch. And I'm like, Nick, this is a terrible idea. Like, just wear pajama bottoms, you know, like, this is terrible. But yeah, eventually his dad comes to pick him up, and him and Mr. Weir have a little bit of a, like, I don't know, a little bit of a back and forth about Nick. And who do you think was more in the wrong here? Because I feel like Mr. Weir is a little bit like, not like, kind of pushing his boundaries a bit, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really, no parent wants to be corrected on their parenting from another parent, especially mm-hmm. somebody that, you know, that you're not like close to. So, however, I think that once again, like, I really do think that in a way Mr. Weir was doing it to satisfy his own feelings about his own childhood. Like, wouldn't it be amazing if somebody, when you were a kid and you were living in something that was not just or fair, somebody to stand up to you for you, like a, like an adult who can see something and be like, that's not right. Like, if I experienced that with some things, like, just, it's really just the affirmation and the acknowledgement that, like, we're all looking for. So, like, I do think that, like, Mr. Weir was like, I want to stand up to this because I experienced my own issues when I was a kid. But yeah, like, I mean, there was no way that Nick's dad was going to receive this information and be agreeable to it, because I mean, he's a hard ass himself, and especially people from that generation. Like, I mean, like, they're not going to take parenting advice from another parent. Like, they're not going to be like told to go quote unquote soft on their son. Like, he's this military man. His other sons are in the military. He, in his perspective, has a rotten apple of a child.
It was really, gosh, it was so interesting to see a scene of Mr. Weir having a conversation with another adult that, like, wasn't his wife, because I feel like we learned a lot about him, which I really wasn't expecting in this show to do, you know, where he says, like, oh, when I was his age, I used to bring home dogs all the time.
He's a dog lover.
Exactly. Like, okay, there is nothing that can endear me more to a character than, like, if they love animals in general, honestly, but, like, dogs, of course, especially. And to hear that from him, it's like, oh my gosh, wow. You don't think of the character of Mr. Weir as a kid. To me, he's always an adult. You know what I mean? That's just, like, who he is. And so to hear that, I really loved it. And he really kind of treads lightly and saying, like, oh, kids just are going to be kids sometimes, you know, sometimes you just got to let them be. And of course, the, you know, he snarks back, like, you call me when your son turns 16, you know, like, he's not, he's really not receptive to this. But I really liked the moment that he does have with Lindsay at the end of the episode, where they kind of, you know, they have a hug and he says, you know, like, there is a difference between you and Nick, like, you're my daughter. You know, like, he says, every time you're out of this house, like, I worry about you. And I think the thing is, maybe people can feel that sometimes, but especially dads of this era, that's not something they're, like, vocalizing, right? That wasn't something that was ever acceptable in society. Yeah. Like, men can't be soft. Men can't express emotion. And I really love that he kind of takes a moment to be like, no, I love you and I worry about you. It was such a special moment. And I really loved that we got to see it, because they didn't have to give us that. Like, Mr. Weir isn't a main character, you know? And I just really love that we did get to see that moment.
Yeah, I thought it was really nice as well. Like, I mean, obviously, anytime there's like a father-daughter storyline, like, it's going to be heartwarming especially for me. So yeah, I thought that I really liked it. I thought that it was, I mean, the more and more we watch these episodes, the more and more I like Lindsay and Sam's parents, except for like one little thing in the next episode. But besides that, I really like their parents, and I like them more and more, and I think that they're like really, really good people.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's shift over to the geeks, because Sam is in luck. Cindy and Todd have broken up.
Wow.
And she is so quick to move on.
Okay. I mean, like, but then again, like, this is kind of how it was when you were this young. Like, you're just hopping from relationship to relationship.
Especially because most relationships didn't last very long. No, so it's like you
2 weeks was like 5 years in high school years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Todd's on the outs. He was, what'd she say? Like, he wanted to move. He was only interested in one thing, which is ironic, especially because, like, you know, what she winds up being interested in. Like, she's really interested in one thing as well. But nonetheless, she tells Bill, because they're lab partners, so he can be trusted.
Yes.
Which I thought was so funny. That she has a crush or feelings for Sam. And then she's like, do you think that Sam likes me? And Bill's like, I don't know. It's like,
Bill is the worst one to be involved in this situation, because he just is like, doesn't know what to do. And he's like, oh, it's hard to tell. And
it's so hard to tell.
Yeah.
He doesn't shut up about you.
Yeah, seriously. And I love, okay, so Cindy, I'm going to have problems with Cindy next episode, very obviously. But I will say, I like that Cindy is a woman who knows what she wants. You know what I mean? She's like,
sure.
Tell Sam to invite me to Mona's party.
And I love how Sam's like, I don't even know who Mona is. Like, how, like, whose party is this? Like, where am I going? But she tells her. And then I also enjoy how Sam was like, if you are fucking with me, I will kill you. But I mean, he's not. Bill's not. He goes right to Cindy and is like, can I invite you to Mona's party? And Cindy's like, yes, of course. And now they're going to Mona's party together, which just so happens to be a makeout party. Because what is a 90s/early 2000s show without there being a makeout party? We talked about makeout parties in Boy Meets World a lot. They had makeup parties. I think that they had at least one makeup party in Dawson's Creek. Like, it's just the thing to do.
It was a thing that I never attended a makeup party. This shouldn't be surprising to literally anyone. So I don't know if they're actually a thing or if they're just like myth, but this is so common in television, especially the, again, like, you can't, I love the like, okay, I like Sam. I'm not going to talk to Sam. I'm going to talk to Sam's friend. But more often it was Cindy would ask her friend to talk to Bill, who's then going to talk to Sam. You know what I mean? Like, that was always the way it worked. But I love this. And I like, so he's like, okay. And of course, Neil wants an invite. Bill really isn't interested in going to like a makeout party.
He says that making out's gross because there's germs and cooties and I don't know, halitosis and all sorts of stuff.
I mean, very fair.
He's afraid of throwing up in the girl's mouth. Ew. Thank gosh that's never happened to me.
It's so gross. But I love when Neil is like, I have a plan. I have a plan for this bottle.
Yes. So he uses inertia or I don't know, physics.
He just has like a method, I guess.
Yeah. Like, I think that there was like some physics element of it, of like a formula of like how to turn the bottle to scientifically land on who he wants it to land on, which is Vicky. Like, Vicky, played by, I think her name is Joanna Garcia. We see her a lot, right?
Yeah.
And so he has this big plan. He like spins it and it goes right to Bill. He's like, it works. This is guaranteed. We see people practice making out. He makes out with the puppet.
Okay. Yes. We need to back up though, because we're going to talk about that. But I have a question, because here's where I think Neil went wrong. Number one, unless you are providing the bottle, the weights can vary. Number two, if the bottle is full or empty, is also going to like change things.
No, the bottle for spin the bottle is always empty, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I never played spin the bottle. I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, so he has like this plan. And then, yeah, he decides he's going to practice on like his puppet, which I was so disturbed by.
No, that is a big red X for me.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrific.
Make out with the back of your hand like the best of us, bitch.
Seriously, all of us made out with our arm. Like, I think I practice on like my forearm.
Interesting.
You didn't practice.
I was just the back of the hand girl.
Yeah. I think that's probably most common.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So like everyone's trying to pick out like what to wear. Again, while Neil is practicing this, he's wearing like, I think he's trying to be like Hugh Hefner because he's wearing like a bathrobe and everything as well.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm just like, Neil, stop. Please just stop.
Calm down. Calm down.
But when they get to this party, I love that the like Sam's like, don't embarrass me, basically.
I mean, for goodness sake. But also, I think it's so funny that, like, Bill and Sam both are, like, wearing turtlenecks. And Sam is like, no, not Sam. Excuse me.
Neil. Yeah. Neil. Yeah.
Bill and Neil are both wearing turtlenecks. And Neil's like, you copied my style. You can't be wearing this. And he winds up, like, taking off his turtleneck, which is just, like, I don't know.
It's like a dickie. It's just like the top part of like the actual part that goes around your neck.
It was really funny. Like these scenes are really, really funny. And of course, I mean, we get a lot of like grouping off and eventually we get to the spin the bottle slash. I like these rules. So it's.
That's what I was going to say. This is different than how I've always. I thought it was always like, okay. Either they're spin the bottle or they're 7 minutes in heaven. I this didn't realize it could escalate.
Now, yeah, I like this. This is the best of both worlds. So the rules are you spin the bottle. If it lands on the same person or like the same combination of people three times, then you have to go to 7 minutes in heaven.
Yeah. Was it? Okay. So is the first one like a peck? Second is make out. Third is 7 minutes in heaven.
I didn't realize that that's how it escalated as
Maybe I thought that's what it was. I could be wrong.
I don't know, but
I feel like that makes sense though.
Sure. So they're all spinning the bottle. Sam's not getting anything. Like Cindy is kissing all the hoes.
Yeah. Cindy is like getting a lot of people. Neil keeps landing on Bill, and is getting this so was upset. The
funniest bit. It was so funny. Mm-hmm. It was so funny because it kept happening. And then when you thought it was done, it just happened again. I really liked this bit. It really was cracking me up.
Yeah. And there was this one guy who was definitely in Boy Meets World. Like, yeah, I remember this dude. And he was so annoying. I remember. And he's just as annoying in this show where he's like, I don't know how he got an invite, to be honest. I'm like, who brought this guy? Because I feel like he's very geeky and I don't know how he got an invite.
I kind of feel like he's a football player, but like one of those football players or like the big
seventh string.
Well, no, he's like the defense. So like because he's like a big guy that's like almost athletic and he's on the football team, he gets invited to the parties, you know?
Can I tell you what grossed me out most about him?
What?
When he gets a kiss with Cindy and spin the bottle after she kisses him. So after she has already pulled away, his mouth is open and his tongue shoots out of his mouth like a lizard. And I was like, ew. Sir, why?
Weird.
That's not it.
That's very suspicious. So, yeah. So I think they wind up going. Does he and Cindy go into the closet? I don't know. People are going.
No,
to the closet.
I don't think so. Like, so yeah. So we get like Bill lands on Vicky, who is the one Neil wants. She's like the head cheerleader, right?
Yeah.
And his first kiss with her is just like a kiss on, you know, like a French, like kiss on the hand type of like introductory. Yes, kiss.
Very gentlemanly. Mm-hmm. That's what she gives him. She's like, no. And then the second time, I don't even know if she gets a peck on the cheek, but
he gives her just like a peck on the cheek. Like he's not really into it. But of course, they get a third land and they get forced to go into the closet for seven minutes in heaven.
Yes. Which I really loved these scenes. I like with these two together. I thought that it was a really interesting combination of people because like at first she's like very disgusted and he's just like, I don't want to be in here with you anyway. Like, I don't want to be here. Like, I like it's the last thing I want. And like, she winds up softening up a little bit, and he's like, you know, he asks her like about pretty privilege, pretty much. And then they start connecting and talking, and he makes her laugh. And
yeah, he's telling her like the plot of a movie. And I really like that he tells her, she's like, I don't want to be in here with you. And he's like, it's not like I want to be in here with you either. Like, yeah. Which I really like, because it really does kind of check her a little bit of Listen, just because you're pretty doesn't mean I want to kiss you either. But I really love that they have this like connection over movies. And she's like, okay, we're just going to try something. And she kisses him. And I was like, oh my God, this is a huge moment mm-hmm. for Bill. And I love that it was Bill and not Neil, because yeah. Bill's not even looking for this, you know, mm-mm. like this isn't something he ever wanted. And I really appreciate that Vicky points out, because again, it would be so easy for Vicky to not say anything, to like be really rude to him the entire time. But she does say like, anytime I look at you in school, you always seem like you're having like a really great time.
Yeah.
And to me, that means it's such a layered comment to make, because it's like, I notice you as a person.
Exactly. Yeah. I notice you. Like, I've like seen you before. Like, you seem like a happy person. Like, it seems like the day in, day out of school and being like a quote unquote geek doesn't bother you. And like, for someone like Vicky, like popularity is so, and looks are so important.
Yeah.
And like, he's having 10 times more fun than she ever does in school, even yep. if she's popular. And I also like the fact that like, they were kissing and she enjoyed it. Like, they were making out for more than 7 minutes. And
yeah,
I thought that it was like, yeah, like she goes like, don't ever tell anybody, or like, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I really think that it was a win for Bill. And I think that it made Vicky seem less like an ice queen. And
yeah,
I'm all for it. I mean, of course, nothing's going to come out of this, but Bill will always be like, yeah, my first kiss was with like the most popular girl in school.
And it's a very memorable first kiss to have, yeah. You know, like I really enjoyed it, especially because it wasn't just like a popular girl takes pity on a nerd and kisses
it
him. Did,
it wasn't charity. It was like, we are having like a connection moment, and I'm having fun with you, and I am going to do something that I normally wouldn't do, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah. And I loved this. I thought that was so fun when like he's telling her the plot of a movie and she's laughing and she's like, oh, I've got to see that one. I don't know. It's just, Bill is very endearing, and to see him connect with another character and get to prove of how like great of a character he is. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoyed it. And I love that it's kind of intercut with Cindy and Sam, who are going off to a separate bedroom, and it's so obvious that she wants him to kiss her, and he's so nervous. And he says, like, he even asks her, which is very, very cute and adorable, and consent is king, so we love Sam for that. And they do kiss, and it's like a very sweet first kiss, right? But then she just like pushes him down on the bed and starts kissing him. And I was like,
Cindy,
ma'am.
Cindy was a little hoe. Like, she turned off the lights. She mm-hmm. pushed him down. She dominated him. And I was like, excuse me, Cindy. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this was very, very spicy. And I mean, like, probably a lot too much for Sam, for little Sam, who is, you know, a shy boy. But Cindy, like you said, knows what she wants and gets it. And she obviously has a little bit more experience than Sam. And
yeah, I think Todd is a senior probably. So she was dating a senior who you have to presume maybe has a little bit more experience as well. But yeah. And so they're making out too. And the only one left out in the cold is Neil. And I love when he tries to knock on the door to the closet and he's like, Bill, your minutes were up like 5 minutes ago. Like, what are you doing in there? I'm bored.
Yeah.
Like, sure, read the room and leave them alone.
I know, but I don't even think, like, I don't know what Neil was thinking that they were doing, but like, he still didn't believe Bill in the next episode that he, that Bill made out with Vicky, but whatever. Yeah.
So that was that episode. I really liked it. I thought I really liked both storylines. Like, I feel like they hit on major, again, the thing that's great about the show is it hits on both major moments in a teen tween's life of like their first kiss and spin the bottle, their first like makeup party, but it also hits on maybe more of the mundane kind of day-to-day moments. And so I really liked this episode.
I did too. I thought that it was fun, and I liked it as well. And I always like it when they focus on like the other characters. It wasn't a big Lindsay episode. It was kind of a big Sam episode, but because he finally got to be with Cindy, but I mean, we really got to see like Bill and Vicky, like so unique, so random. And we get to see like Nick and Mr. Weir. It was really satisfying to dig into these other characters.
Yeah. So that was Smooching and Mooching. Let's take a quick ad break and we'll come back and talk about the little things.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay. This is an episode that is like way heavier than Switching.
Yeah. So like the thing is that like it like, you know, I think they're really going for something here. And I am still a little bamboozled about like how I feel about everything. Because on one side of the coin, we have like the deflamation of Cindy and like just let's tank her character to the ground.
Yeah.
Like, let's just drown her and like tie a brick to her, throw her across the off the bridge. Let's just tank her. Which was weird. And then on the other
weird.
Very, very good. Very, very good. And then on the other side of the coin, like we get to know Ken a little bit more, which is awesome because like we really don't get a lot of Seth Rogen in this show. But then we Tuba Girl, whose name is Amy, and we'll call her Amy because like let's be respectful. Even though I do like calling her Tuba Girl, she's Amy.
She's been in a few episodes now. Yeah, so yeah, she deserves a name.
We find out, she reveals because her and Ken are getting closer that she was born as a intersex woman. And it felt like a really strange thing to put in a show that, I mean, like they didn't necessarily know they were getting canceled, but there's 18 episodes and this is the 17th episode and this is what we're doing here. And I was just like, this is strange. Like it felt like this felt like a weird episode.
No, I agree with you. Yeah. Like the tanking of Cindy, I think is interesting and pretty funny because I do think there are like tiny morsels that you could possibly pick up on like a rewatch of like,
definitely,
you know what I mean? Like red flags.
Well, remember when like we see that she only eats like celery and carrots?
Yes. And
I'm like, that's a little weird.
Yeah, her family like doesn't watch TV.
Yeah, yeah, like there is like nuggets where it's just like this girl like seems weird and boring and like, I don't know, but we really like dig deep and like there is like some like little problematic behavior from this young girl.
Yeah. Yeah. But then to speak to the Amy of it all, I mean, it's so fascinating, right? Because on one hand, you kind of want to praise them for how it's handled in the show, right? Like how Seth Rogen's character reacts. And then like eventually by the end of the episode, like kind of all of that, right? That to me was like impressive for a show from the 90s that it takes place in 1980. On the other hand, obviously, uh-huh. some of the verbiage that is used around her as a character is like very outdated and like not great at all, right? Like,
I mean, oh, it could have been worse.
Or a she, it certainly could have been, worse.
It's just interesting because it's like, obviously you and I have never experienced this sort of thing. And it's like, what's like the right thing to do in this situation? And we'll talk about how Ken handles it. But it's like, it's delicate, right? It's like very, very delicate. And it's like, if you're vulnerable enough to open up about this sort of thing to somebody that you care about and that you're intimate with, mm-hmm. like, it's like really, it's a really delicate situation. So we're going to like handle it delicately because it is delicate. Mm-hmm. But it's, I just thought it was like very interesting. So how do you want to start? Do you want to continue with the Cindy of it all?
Yeah, let's talk through the Cindy stuff. It's fascinating, right? Like, I feel like the first red flag we get is literally the first scene of the episode where she's eating dinner at the Weir household. And Mr. Weir is talking about how, like, there is this, like, huge megastore coming in, like, you know, corporate nonsense, basically going to screw over his, like, mom and pop sports store. And she's very supportive. Like, she's like, no, if I were them, I'd be scared. Like, you're going to do great.
Yeah, like, I thought that it was, like, interesting to see her at a family dinner, obviously. Like, it's a big deal to bring a girl home or a guy home. Yeah. I guess, like, so we learn that Vice President George H.W. Bush is coming. And
yes, coming to their school, which is like, okay.
Speech. Yeah. We learn that Cindy is the president of the Young Republicans Club. And now, I don't think it's a secret that you and I lean left. So I don't want to like insult anybody's beliefs, to be honest with you, but it was surprising. A surprising revelation of Cindy's.
It's interesting. What I would say is like, and obviously we have it because it gets brought up at the dinner table, right? And Lindsay is very much of that. Like, she's like, I'm a Democrat. Like, this is my belief. Yeah. And Mr. Weir is, of course, a Republican.
Well, it's interesting. Like, once again, it's interesting because like, I wasn't expecting any of it. But then he was like, yeah, like, you know, everybody's a Democrat until you get money. I'm like, oh, this dude's a fiscal Republican, you know, yes, like he cares about the taxes, paying taxes, and he cares about money. Like, okay, this kind of tracks, and he owns a small business, which is like a whole, he cares about taxes, essentially. Yeah. But it's just like, I was like, oh, okay, so like we're going here, like this is what we're doing, okay.
Yeah, to me, okay, so what I got from Cindy, and again, these are the morsels that I'm saying you can follow, right? Like, okay, so her family, and this is not me broad brushing. I just want to point that out. I'm just saying like the things kind of add up where it's like her family's very strict. Her family doesn't own a TV. She's only allowed to eat like celery and carrots for snacks. Mm-hmm. And then you find out she's like a Republican and like president of the Republican Club, the Young Republicans Club. And she, to me, every time she opened her mouth, whenever she was talking about like politics,
she was parroting. I could
hear her parents' voices.
That's what it, you're right. Like, she's parroting. And that's honestly, that's how a lot of us get our political beliefs.
1,000%.
By what we learn from our parents, how we absorb with our parents. Like, you know, I think it's interesting how at 18 you can register if you are, what party you are in. And I don't think like the average 18-year-old now, I think that there's plenty of 18-year-olds, especially in this generation, turning 18, that do their own research. When I was 18 years old, I was like, oh, my dad and my mom are Democrats. I'm a Democrat. You know what I mean? Like, you parrot what your parents think.
Well, because you're going to hear what's happening in your household. And most likely you're going to like, that's, you know, not every kid's going to research and figure out their own beliefs.
Right.
I mean, nowadays, again, it's very different now. Yeah. But it goes from that. So that, again, those are like tiny morsels of like, oh, interesting. Okay, she's like head of the Republican Club. Okay, fine, whatever. Yeah, obviously, Lindsay doesn't agree.
Yeah, but I do think it's a big deal for her, and I applaud her for getting the opportunity to introduce the vice president. I think that no matter what party you're in, what your beliefs are, I do think that's a big honor. So I do like, I'm like, good for you. Like, that's like something to be proud of.
It's a story you would tell for sure. Like later in your life, you know, you would definitely tell that story. But I think the interesting thing is then we're at the lunch table, right? And Sam is sitting with
the popular kids.
The popular kids. He's not sitting with his normal crowd. Yeah,
which is okay, whatever. He's sitting with his girlfriend. But it's like, what is Todd doing there sitting with Cindy? Yeah.
This is so interesting. And he gets a little nasty with Cindy and he's just like, stay out of it.
No. This is what happened. Because Cindy was talking shit about another school's cheerleaders and was like, they're gross, they're dirty, they're ugly. And Todd is a nice guy and he's like, you shouldn't say that. Like, you know, like they're fine and like not everybody on your team is gorgeous. And then Cindy's like, stop talking shit about me.
And yeah, Todd's he's like, I'm not talking about
you.
Yeah.
And then Cindy is like, Sam, why are you not defending me? And Sam's just sitting there
with his
two celery sticks. And he's like, he said that he wasn't talking about you.
Sam is the most conflict averse character on the show. And so he doesn't want any part of this. And I really love what Todd says here because Todd says, what are you doing? I like Sam. Stop trying to get Sam and me to fight. I really like Sam.
She wants two guys to fight over her.
That's exactly what she wants. And I was like, Cindy, no.
That was another tick.
Then the very like next scene when him and Bill are playing mousetrap, we start to see a little bit of the like things aren't going great in their relationship because he says she's kind of boring.
She doesn't like, they don't share the same interests and all she wants to do is make out. And Neil's like, oh, that seems like the dream. And Sam's like, no, like I want to have, like, I want to talk to her. Like I want to go places. And they're like,
I love that Bill says, like, aren't you supposed to take her on dates? Yes. Like, I love Bill trying to actually like help with this problem, you know? Unlike Neil, who's like, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, Neil's so stupid. This is why I know Neil's gonna be a fucking douchebag, just like his brother and his dad. This is how I know.
I'm still not over it. The defamation of Barry.
So this inspires Sam to take out Cindy on a date. And at first she's like, yeah, let's go on a date with like all of our friends. That sounds amazing. Let's go to Goofy Golf and go to the batting cages. And he's like, no, like I kind of want to just like take you out on a surprise. And she's like, oh my God, that's so cute. Like you want to like treat me on like a little date. Like that's so romantic. So then he brings her to the movies, to something that he really likes. And she like poo-poos it the whole time. And when
she doesn't like the movie, she says it's stupid. She doesn't like the humor of it.
Yes.
And at the same time, Sam gets this like, this is cracked. We need to talk about this.
What, the handouts?
No, that's cracked. But no, not that even yet. So Sam's mom, Mrs. Weir, is like, hey, I know you've been dating Cindy for literally less than a week. I have this family heirloom I'd like you to give her. Are you fucking kidding me? First of all, you have a daughter who can wear jewelry. Second of all, like, it's fucked. They've been dating barely any time and you're going to give away a precious family heirloom?
Well, okay. So she says it's because it's like his first love and like she thought that would be sweet.
How would he even know that they've been dating for like literally a hot second?
Well, no, he's liked her for like years.
I mean, he's so young. This is so silly to me.
He's 14. He's basically a young man. I mean, honestly, this was the fucking ugliest necklace.
Of course it's ugly. But you can't say that.
She basically says that she doesn't put it on.
Yeah, so this is the best part. So then so they're at the movies and this is when it gets like really bad because the first thing we hear Cindy say is, so I told Todd that Republicans aren't selfish. It's just that they don't believe poor people should get handouts.
And she's like, and do you think that's true?
Yeah, she's like, they should get jobs. Handouts make them lazy, don't you think? And I love, Sam is very conflict averse, right? So an anxious, conflict averse person, it would be so easy for him to just be like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But no, he says, I don't know. Like, I guess so.
Well, yeah. So yeah, we I don't know. It was
she's just like, oh, Democrats love handouts. And the thing is, like, gosh, I can't get into a rant here because my brain would explode. But like, oh, it's so frustrating because, like I said, like what she's saying literally sounds to me like something her parents said to her.
Oh, yeah. She's just, like, I mean, why does she, why would a 15-year-old girl care or like have a an impassioned opinion about handouts, you know? Yeah,
I really hate the term handouts. It's like so, it's like basically saying like, oh, you're so pathetic that like, here's this, I guess. Like, you're so lazy that I know even if I give you this, you're never going to get a job. It's just so frustrating. It's like,
yeah,
like you're so privileged, Cindy. It's so, so frustrating to hear her saying these things. And her, I don't know. I was just so annoyed with her. As soon as I heard this, I was like, well, there we go.
Well, yeah. I mean, like they're, like I said, like, I think that like, you know, most of Hollywood is very liberal. So like, this was obviously an intention thing to make her look not desirable and of bad character or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, she doesn't take the necklace. And
yeah, he says when he presents it to her, she says, "What is it, girl? It's a necklace. What do you mean? What is
it?" Like, this is like a cursed object that I'm going to. It was stupid. Yeah. So then she's like, "I have a gift for you."
Yeah, yeah. And I love, do you want me to put it on for you? And she's like, "No, it's metal. It'll be cold on my neck."
Fucking Cindy. So Jess, what do you think about Cindy's gift to Sam?
Wait, what the hell did she give him?
A hickey.
Oh my. I forgot about this. I hate this.
You hate hickeys?
Mostly I hate hickeys when they're like just so obvious. Like, She's like giving him a hickey in a movie theater, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, "I'm giving you something." And he's so young and he doesn't understand like what it is.
He's like, "Ow, why?"
Yeah, why? And I really, to me, she could have just like pissed all over his lap. Like, she's marking her territory.
Yeah.
Like, that's what she's doing with this hickey.
I love hickeys.
I hate hickeys. In my opinion, if you're going to give someone a hickey, cool, yeah, whatever. But, like, yeah, do it in a place that is not as, like,
no,
obvious, you know?
No.
Ugh, no.
Yeah. We were in New York. I was marked up.
It was disgusting. So many. So many.
I had a good time.
Look like a leopard print on your neck.
It's fun, Jessica. Have fun, for goodness sake.
I can have fun in so many ways that don't involve having marks on my neck when I walk around as a 32-year-old woman.
Fuck you and fuck you.
What was the I can't remember. Oh, go forth and fuck.
Yeah. Go forth and fuck you.
But I really liked this, like, because Sam is not, he doesn't like this, right? And he, like, he's trying to hide it. And of course, it pisses Cindy off.
She, like, freaked out at him. She's like, "How dare you?
This is my gift."
It's like, how would you feel if you gave me a diamond necklace and I didn't wear it because it was embarrassing? It's like, ma'am,
bitch. Exactly what happened.
The heirloom. And she's like, "I don't want to wear your stupid family heirloom. It's ugly."
But I really like when Sam goes to Lindsay for like advice on this, and he asks like, "Oh, how come I don't like her?" And she's like, "Just because she's pretty doesn't mean that you're like, you know, she's cool. Like, yeah, you don't have to be together."
Yeah.
And he's just like, "I don't understand. Like, she's popular. Like, she's going out with me. What am I supposed to do?" But yeah, I think it's like the last straw when she insults the family necklace and yells at him about the turtleneck. And he's like, "I have to break up with her."
Yeah.
And Neil's like, "This is a mistake."
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, like, that he already decided that he was going to break up with her. And then on top of that, that's what happened. And like, I mean, I kind of feel bad that the timing of it was like right before she was going to go on stage. Like,
yeah,
it didn't have to be that way, but she was just being such a
she
see you next
it.
Tuesday that, yeah, like, he had to do it then and there.
And the way they interweave these storylines
I like
so
a lot.
Great with, like, yeah, when Sam runs into Ken, thank you, in the bathroom, and they have a discussion about like the difference in their relationship, right? Like, because Ken can't believe that he's about to break up with Cindy, and he's just like, we just don't like each other. Like, I just don't like her. She's really different than I am. Like, we're just, mm-hmm. we're not
she compatible. She doesn't laugh at the same things as me. Like, she doesn't have the same mm-hmm. interests. And Ken's like, well, I mean, like, that's not my issue. Like, she loves all the things that I love. And, like, we have a great time together.
Yeah. And that kind of makes him come to the realization that, what I'm fussed about is stupid, and like, why should I be fussed about it?
Right.
So he breaks up with Cindy, and she's really upset. She's like, cannot believe it.
Well, she says something like, I only went out with you because you were supposed to be the nice guy.
Well, maybe you should have been the nice girl, and then you could have been compatible, Cindy. Stop being a huge bitch.
Take your carrots and fuck off.
No, seriously. And so she goes up, and like, I did feel a little bad for her. She has to like announce the president or the vice president coming in, and she just starts like crying and runs off stage, and it's kind of sad.
Yeah. So
that's the storyline, the end of Sam and Cindy as we know it.
I mean, I'm really happy. Like, that they're over. I do think that it's like very interesting to see the crush develop into a relationship, develop into a breakup. Like, I think that we see like the full circle.
And I love it because they're just not compatible. Obviously, they really tank Cindy as a character. But even before that, Sam was like, she's boring.
I mean, she's boring. Like, yeah, like they don't have the things in common. Like, they don't have the same sense of humor, and they don't play the same sort of games, and they don't have the same interests. And I think that that makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, she seemed like a really nice girl. She was very pretty, and they just were not compatible at the end of the day.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Ken storyline. Him and Amy are getting closer and closer. She's like really excited because, well, she, I don't know if she's, she has to play.
No, she's nervous. The tuba.
Yeah, she has to play. What is the hail to the chief or whatever? She's like terrified about it. Yeah. And he, like, again, I really love, like, Amy seems like she's like fully ingratiated into the friend group now, which I really love because we're like balancing out the gender ratio we have going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know. They're just like, I just find them very cute. Like,
yeah, they're vibing
together.
I mean, Ken really, really likes her. And Amy likes him, and they seem to be getting very close and very intimate. And we see this scene where Ken is talking a little bit about his family because Amy is like, why don't we ever go to your house? And Ken explains that he doesn't like being at his house. He's not very close with his parents. And what we learn is that Ken's parents are workaholics. They make a lot of money. And they were pretty like negligent with their child. Like, they didn't.
Yeah, he was raised by a nanny, is what he said.
Yeah, like, he was raised by a nanny, and they didn't really like put a lot of interest in him. They just were focused on their jobs, essentially.
Yeah, he calls his nanny the best mommy money can buy.
Yeah,
which again, like, if you have a nanny in your life, like, this is no like shade to that situation, but like, he felt like his parents weren't involved enough in his life. Right. And again, I really love that every single character has their own different familial situation where it's like, yes, my parents have money, but they mm-hmm. weren't necessarily very loving. Well, you know?
I mean, that's a great point because like at this point, we have gotten a family background from every geek tertiary character.
Tertiary.
You know, I tried.
No, yeah, you're right though. We have.
And every freak.
Yeah, because Bill's mom is Bill's with the mom, coach or whatever.
We got Neil's dad. Cheater. And then on the other side, we know Kim Kelly's family mm-hmm. issues. We know Daniel and his family issues a little bit. Like, it's a little, like, cloudy, but
unsure of what's going on, but we have a little bit of an idea.
We definitely know Nick's situation.
Yeah.
We learn Ken's now, and now officially, like, all the main players, like, we saw their family life.
And that's very impressive for a show that has only that only has one season. And like in 17 episodes, we know that much about each character.
Yeah, very, very, very well done.
And a credit to the cast, obviously, as well, that like they're able to carry these storylines.
Yeah, as well as Mr. Weir and Mrs. Weir, we both get a little bit about their background or like what they're going through right now. Yeah. So very well done. So Ken opens up to Amy, and then Amy takes the opportunity to be honest with him and explains that when she was born with both male and female parts, and her parents decided that she will be a female, and which was good because that's how she feels on the inside as well. And this is something that like is probably, I mean, like honestly, it's such a vulnerable thing to talk about. And I do think that it was the right timing, right? Because like you have to feel comfortable enough with your partner to open up about something like that.
Yeah.
It's not a visible thing right now. So it's not like she has to.
I just feel like she felt like it was something that she's carried with her life, and she wanted to share it with a person she really trusts and is getting to really, you know, really like. And so she felt like I should share this with him. And
I think that Ken handled it really well in the moment.
I do too. I think that like obviously it's shocking news to him, and it's not anything he was ever expecting her to say. And he says, well, you're like a girl now, right? And she says, well, yeah. And he's like, okay, that's okay, that's fine. Yeah. And he says, if I was dating you when you were just born, and I'm like, what are we doing here?
It's a baby.
But he does make her laugh, right? Like he's trying to like laugh it off and like chuckle about it. And he's like, okay. But like obviously this is a teenage boy, like he is going, it gets in his head, it sinks in that he's like, what does this mean about my sexuality, what does this mean about me, right? Like he of course is looking at it from his perspective of like, what is it gonna say about me? And he, you know, you gotta admit like it's tough on him, because the only person, and she's like, you can't tell anybody, right? Like this is a secret, blah blah blah. He can't, who's he supposed to talk to this about this with besides her, who he can't, because if he expresses the doubts to her, he comes off like an a-hole. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So like, I don't like fault him for going to Nick and Daniel and being like, look, like I'm, because he talks to them and he's like, I kind of feel like I need to break up with her because I think that, I mean, it's not great, but he's just like, they're having like a really awkward time together. Like he's processing, he's like struggling internally himself about how he feels about it. She's starting to feel like, oh, fuck, like, why did I even tell you?
Yeah, because he's like blowing her off, and like she knows something is up. Like he's acting weird, but he's denying it. And she's just like, I know you're acting weird. Like you've been acting weird since I told you. Like I should have never said anything. You're not fine with it. Mm-hmm. You're acting totally strange.
And he's saying yes, because like he does love her, but he doesn't like, he's just like not able. He's trying to process, essentially. So and the way to process for a lot of people is talking to your friends. So like, I don't necessarily like, you know, fault him for opening up to Daniel and Nick. The issue is that Daniel and Nick are also fucking teenage boys.
Exactly, right? And so, he's like, oh, don't say anything. And it's like, you're saying that to two teenage boys, and you're telling them something that is like, you know,
but who not else juicy, is he going like, to tell? Like, yeah. It's not like he has a therapist. Like, he tries to open up to the guidance counselor, but like, that doesn't go off well. Like, you know, like, it's not like he's going to go and tell like Lindsay or Kim, because he's not that close to them.
Yeah. So yeah, he's in a really tough spot, and
he's not close to his parents.
Yeah, and he trusts Nick and Daniel, of course. And Nick, to his credit, he's like, oh, then she's a girl now, though, right? So, like, who cares? Yeah.
So maybe the answer is, like, you know that Nick is going to have a gentler approach than Daniel.
Definitely.
So maybe you just go to Nick. But, like, I think that Ken is closer to Daniel than he is to Nick.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. And then, but like, again, credit to Ken, because then he goes to the guidance counselor. Like, he does try to like talk to someone. And he like, again, he is really struggling with his sexuality because he's wondering, if I like Amy, what does that say about me? Right? Like, does that mean I'm anything other than straight? And of course, that makes him uncomfortable. You know, again, he's a teenager. He's figuring out his sexuality before all of this happened. Mm-hmm. And then this happens. So it's really interesting, right? And he's really, really struggling with it. He doesn't really know what to do. He's like listening to music, right? He's like listening to heavy metal. I love watching him like headbang to heavy metal. I don't know why. It just made me so happy to see Seth Rogen banging his head to heavy metal. But yeah, and so it's so sad. Like, I hate this. But basically, she finds out that he told his friends.
Well, yeah, because like, I mean, and when I don't think that I really don't think that Daniel meant it.
No.
This way, I think that it's just like he was just like everybody does, especially, you know, on the East Coast, even though these guys are Midwestern, like, you know, like, we don't say y'all, like, we grew up all saying you guys, like, hey,
and it's
guys.
A really hard habit to break. I'm trying to and actively like, break that habit. It's also really
I've
hard.
I've also heard people say that they don't have an issue with it because it's just a form of expression.
Yeah.
So
it's just one of those things where I try to instead be like hey, everyone, instead of hey, guys, just because if it makes even one person uncomfortable, it's not something that I want to be making people uncomfortable, you know?
Sure.
So if it's something I can actively work on to try and break myself of that habit without having to revert to y'all when I'm not Southern at all and honestly can't, I just can't bring myself to say y'all.
I know. So yeah, that's what Daniel says. And I like, because Ken's already like really sensitive and all the emotions are like heightened, he gets defensive and starts a fight with Daniel. And then yes, and then Amy's like puts two and two together, and Kim and Lindsay are like left out in the dark. They're like, what the fuck just happened? Like, why are the boys fighting? Like, we don't know. So we fast forward a little bit to you know, Amy and Ken are on the outs, and she kind of turns around when she finds out from Lindsay that it wasn't like Ken was going around and telling everybody, because Lindsay's super in the dark. Because Lindsay doesn't know. And that makes Amy feel better, because maybe she is like, okay, like, he needed to tell somebody. He's not like spreading it around the entire school. And I think at the same time, Ken has that conversation with Sam and realizes like, it really doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, he loves Tuba Girl.
Yeah, he loves Amy. And credit to Ken. When he goes down the hallway, right, they're all kind of walking in their little band, like, formation to go out and do Hail the Chief or whatever. And he's trying to find Amy, and he finds her. I love that he keeps it so short and to the point, but he hits on the beats he needs to hit on, right? He says, one, I don't care. And two, I'm so sorry. And like, I know it seems very simple and like silly, but sometimes people struggle to apologize. Like,
accountability is
they make excuses or I'm sorry, but I did this, or I'm sorry you felt that way, or blah, 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 blah. There's qualifiers.
Yeah.
Like, I love that he didn't do qualifiers. He's just like, you know what? I don't care. And I'm so sorry. And she thinks about it for a second. She smiles and they hug, and he hits his head on her tuba, and they have an awkward little tuba hug and they kiss. And I was so freaking pleased as punch. I loved this, because Amy is adorable, and I'm happy that Ken like realized he's being an idiot with enough time to like not being an idiot, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, like, I think that he was justified in the processing. Like, I think that like
he's a teenager, of course. Yeah,
I think that like I think that whenever you open up to somebody about something that like maybe you're not that proud of, like, you have to allow the other person to process the information that you're telling them. And it's hard, because like, obviously, like, as the person that you're sharing your secret with, you're like, please don't think of me differently. Like, please don't not like me anymore. Like, please be understanding. Like, I want, you know, instant gratification with affirmation that nothing has changed. But then you also have to take into consideration, like, the other person is a human with emotions and thoughts as well and needs the processing time.
Yeah.
And I think that Ken did a very good job in the moment. And then maybe in a perfect universe, he would have taken like a few days of a beat to process without having interactions with Amy to make her feel like she's being rejected, like in an ideal world. But I think that Ken had an appropriate amount of time processing his emotions.
Yeah. And I love that this was also, again, like something I want to praise this show for is just the resolution of storylines within the same episode.
Oh, yeah.
This didn't end up being like a 2-3 episode arc all about this. You know, it was very like, because that's what shows do now. It's like they take forever with certain storylines. They'll drag them out for the drama. And I was happy we didn't get that here. I really liked that we had like a little bit of strife caused by a very understandable situation. And then it's wrapped up and they're back together and happy again by the end of the episode.
Yeah, we don't have time to fuck around. We have one episode left.
No, exactly. But we do have one storyline left in this episode, which is Lindsay being responsible to ask the first question during the meet and greet with the vice president. So Mr. Rosso chooses her because she's like responsible and he really is like kind of obsessed with her. And
so like Feeny, but somehow even creepier.
Yeah, it's too much. But she, of course, is like, oh, well, I have to think of a good question. And her and Kim, and again, this is a show from 1980. I think nowadays, if you had like two teens who or like maybe like Kim, right, as a prime example of like a teen that doesn't really care, would she be as well versed in political stuff? Probably not. But I love that this show was like had them bouncing off of each other of like what question she should ask. And the problem is the question she comes up with, which is like a difficult question because she's not given him a softball, gets rejected. And instead she's told like, oh, you have to ask about like his favorite restaurant. Meanwhile, she's also getting tugged in another direction when her dad wants her to wear like a t-shirt for his store, and her parents are going to be at the assembly and everything. And I really loved, we have a cameo by Ben Stiller in this episode, which was crazy.
As like so funny.
Security, right? And Mr. Rosso basically gets detained because he looks like a hippie. And so he is not allowed.
Well, it's because I think they did a background check and saw that he was
picketed. He used to be in like some kind of college like club or something that was like anarchist.
Right.
And so he gets detained and Lindsay is like very, very upset by this because he's not even allowed to be in there when she asks the question. And I love that instead of asking this like softball of a question that in front of her parents and everything, right? Like in front of the vice president, in front of the whole school, in front of her parents, instead of asking the question that she's supposed to ask, she asks, hey, why wasn't I allowed to ask you my original question? Why are you so afraid of me?
Yeah. Like, why did your people not let me ask? And also my dad owns the sports store.
Yeah. And it was so funny. And of course, they have Ben Stiller on the show, so they have to give him more to do. So he has like a heart-to-heart with Mr. Rosso and like takes a career aptitude test to see what he's supposed to be doing.
Why not? Why ridiculous. Not?
Yeah. Ridiculous. But yeah, this episode was obviously less fun. And like, you know, whatever. Like, I ultimately like where we ended up with Ken and Amy. And I thought the show handled it like, again, pretty well considering when the show was created.
Yeah,
the verbiage isn't always perfect, but, you know.
I thought it was thought-provoking, but I think that maybe the combination of the Cindy storyline of, like, everything that I thought I knew about Cindy was not it, and the Amy-Ken storyline, I think that, like, the combination in one episode left me feeling like, what are we doing here, and, like, what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
I just think that it was, like, maybe too much for the same episode. Like, if they split it up, maybe I would have felt differently. Like, I need some fluff somewhere, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I prefer the lighter, like, the mostly light with a tinge of realism versus, like, mostly realism with a tinge of fun.
Sure, yeah.
But we did get some feedback from Caroline.
About on earlier in the season.
Yes. So about Smooching and Mooching, she said, this is a personal favorite episode of mine. The entire geek storyline warms my cold, dead heart. I feel like the writers knew the show was ending and decided to have Sam's dreams with Cindy come true. The kiss in the hallway is so sweet, but my favorite part is the look on Sam's face when Cindy turns the lights off when her and Sam are in the bedroom. Truly 10 out of 10 face acting from John Francis Daly.
Yes, exactly.
Neil is being classic Neil. It's so sad, but he also deserves the shit end of the stick with the way he talks about women. I know Sarah was saying she thinks his brother takes after his dad, but honestly, I think it's more Neil. Who tries to manipulate spin the bottle?
Only creeps. Seriously. I definitely think that Neil takes after his dad. Like, I am disgusted by the man that Neil is going to become. Yeah.
The only time I, like, we need another real Neil redemption story, I think, because the only time I felt bad for him was when he finds out his, like, dad's cheating and he's riding around with, like, garage clicker. So we need another redemption tour for Neil.
I guess. No. We also liked it when he was consoling Lindsay when Lindsay
That was early on. That's true. That's true. We did.
About the party and, like, was, you know, called the cops for her.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she says, the Vicky Bill makeout scene is one of my favorite scenes of the entire show. I love how Bill talks about his fears of making out with a girl, but ends up kissing Vicky. She still totally sucks, but I love the way he charms her. Funny guys are the best. And she said, for the freaks plot line, I only have one thing to say. Nick's zebra striped underwear.
We didn't talk about that.
We didn't. Yeah. But it was like a Speedo style, like, underwear. Right?
I feel like he was wearing a woman's thong.
It looked like a woman's thong.
What was he doing? Where did he get that underwear from?
I bet you he thinks it's like, oh, all the best drummers, like, wear.
You know what it reminds me of?
Rocker underwear.
Sims 1 underwear.
Yes, they're so.
I'm pretty sure I put that on my Sims.
Oh, do you know what I always put my people in? I always put them in heart boxers.
Oh, yeah, the heart boxers.
The heart boxers.
Yeah. No, that was definitely some Sims underwear if I ever.
I don't understand boxers as a thing, to be honest.
What do you mean?
I don't have those parts, but I just don't understand what the purpose of them even is at that point because they're not holding anything.
They're more comfortable, my love.
You're just freeballing it pretty much.
It's more comfortable. You aren't restricted.
I'd rather be a little restricted.
You don't have the same. You don't know. We like to be cupped like a little delicate flower.
Like, I also just can't imagine just having bits flowing around down there, but that's a whole other story.
This is so off the wall. Anyway, I can't.
So Caroline also continues with the little things. She says, I've always had mixed feelings towards this episode. The Ken Tuba Girl plot is interesting. I don't think the writers fully got everything right with gender when we look at it from a 2023 perspective, but considering when it came out, the message you walk away with isn't a bad one. And I totally agree. Like, I think that it's hard to get it right, you know, 30 years prior to the progress that we've had, you know. And then she continues, I'm not sure if you guys are that 70s show fans.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a little bit of it, but not a ton.
I saw all of it except I think like the last season or two, like once. Okay. Some of the mains left, I stopped watching it. I have in my extensive DVD collection, I have a lot of the seasons.
Mm-hmm. She says, Bush coming to town is so similar to a plot from the first season of that show that would have come out around the same time as this episode. Basically, President Gerald Ford comes to town and Red gets to ask him a question.
Yes.
And then gets really mad when the question is chosen for him. So he ends up asking his own question anyway. It's literally the same as Lindsay's plot to a T. That's really funny. Yeah.
Yes, I do. I do remember that episode. I guess maybe people just made the rounds.
Yeah, they were like, let's have presidents come to school.
Wow.
And she says, Cindy Sanders always kind of sucked. So her turning out to be a boring Republican totally tracks. And I love that Sam comes to his senses about her. I'll leave you with the best quote of the episode, courtesy of Harris. Laughter is the ultimate aphrodisiac. Get a woman laughing and you've got a woman loving.
Your words have never been spoken. That is absolutely true. I love to talk about my love, but I think like I fell in love with the person that makes me laugh the hardest.
Yeah. I mean, truly you need humor, at least in my opinion, you need humor in a relationship because sometimes life is like really hard. And if you can't find someone who makes you laugh, even in those like really tough moments, you're going to have a really hard time getting through parts of life.
I now laugh like all day, every day. I am like having like the best time of my life.
You're going to get smile lines. Does that hurt?
No. Well, I mean, that's like, honestly, like Adam and I've talked a lot about that. And like, I'm
have
like,
you? You've talked about smile lines?
Oh yeah. Cause I'm like terrified of wrinkles. So I was like, oh, I want to get Botox. And then he always goes like, no Botox, no Botox. I want you to have the smile lines.
Smile lines are just like proof that you've had a like happy life, in my opinion. Like, I'd rather have smile lines than like a furrowed brow line, you know?
Look, I am very gifted. I don't have a lot of wrinkles as far as I know.
Thing where I like raise my eyebrows. I have a very small forehead and I had no lines in it for the longest time, and now I have like a single one, and it's like, oh bitch, you get in there.
Yeah, I mean, go get Botox.
Nah, I'm just gonna be a wrinkly old bitch. I don't mind.
I kind of want Botox.
Anyway, those are our two episodes. We only have one episode left. Can you believe it?
I can't. I mean, this was like a fun little project for us. I really enjoyed it.
I would totally be down to do another like show that only had one season.
The people are asking.
What we're doing?
I think they're craving more.
Send us suggestions if you have suggestions.
They want My So-Called Life.
We've talked about that one. Okay.
They want that. I mean, like, some people have thought about Undeclared. What else have people asked for? I'm
trying to think of other 90s shows that only had.
Like the people are definitely they're asking.
Well, it's possible. We're always open to it. So if we, you know, we find the time and the time's right and we want to do another one season of a show, it's possible we'd do it. I like this format too. I thought like doing a where we're not talking necessarily like beat for beat every single moment of an episode, and we're able to crunch two episodes into a podcast to not make it so we're not covering it over like 6 months. Mm-hmm. I think was a nice little treat as well.
We
have one more episode. Would you like to hear the title?
Yes.
Discos and Dragons.
Wow. Okay. So we're going to be talking about Dungeons and Dragons, I suppose, a little bit. I guess that's what the geeks are doing.
Yeah. And maybe the freaks are going to a disco. I don't know. They don't really seem like disco
people. Doesn't seem like attracts, but sure.
But we're going to have one more guest as well. So our friend Melissa will be on chatting with us about the finale.
Fabulous.
So very excited for that. So that's what we're going to be doing. And of course, if you missed the news, we're covering Felicity. That's really exciting. I'm really pumped. Like, I've been rewatching the episode and I cannot wait to talk about it.
I haven't done it yet. I'm probably going to do it maybe today. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We have a lot going on. So like, as we just did a little bit of a Matthew Perry tribute, we covered Fools Rush In, which was a fun little movie to cover. And then we are covering Edward Scissorhands, and that's coming out next week, a little bit after Thanksgiving is what we landed on.
Yeah.
And then
November
next month, obviously we're going to do some holiday movies, Christmas movies. Felicity's starting. So tons of stuff coming up on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I know that, both you and I guested on one indescribable podcast covering Girls 5 Eva, which has Busy Phillips in it.
And yeah, definitely in fun little crossover. So go check that out.
Mm-hmm. So that was a really fun experience. I did it last week and you did it this week. So we are we were butt to butt, you know?
As we like to be.
And then, I mean, like, that's all I have going on, really. But I know, Jessica, you have oodles and oodles of projects over at our friends of PSR.
Yeah, go check out Pusher Recaps. I'm doing full spoiler recaps with Grace Leader. We just covered Upload season 3. And next on our list is Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, which is interesting because I've never seen any Scott Pilgrim stuff. So that should be pretty fun. And then I'm also guesting on a little Grey's Anatomy podcast over on Pusher Recaps, which I'm really excited about with Ariel and Chappelle. So it should be a lot of fun drafting doctors. Ooh. I love a draft and I love shit talking Grey's Anatomy. So I really can't wait to go on that podcast. It's going to be so much fun. So yeah, that's what you could find me. That's what I'm up to at the Just Sterling on Twitter. Sarah's at Sarah Ferguson. We're at Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And you go to shit90spod.com if you want to send us feedback. We love getting feedback. shit90spod@gmail.com. Don't forget, we're starting Felicity soon, so make sure you get your feedback in if you want it to be heard on the podcast. And we're doing one episode a week of Felicity in case you're new here and you don't really know our usual format. So those podcasts will drop on Mondays. I think that is everything. So until next week, have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.